verse 6, something we should live by, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Once again, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Let's bow our hearts and let's ask God's blessing to be upon us as we look to the Word of God this morning. Father, we thank you once again so much for the blessing and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your presence in this place today. We thank you, God, how you minister to hearts. We ask now as we look to your word that you would continue to minister to our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Bless our children and teachers downstairs. May the will of God be done in their lives. And we ask all these things in your holy name. Amen. Amen. And perhaps if we could cut the air or turn the air up just a little bit to maybe 72. And that way, so you can all hear me. Can you all hear me? You can hear me just fine? All right, we can leave it as is. There are times in our lives where we're sidelined. And what I mean by that, and if you take the sports metaphor, there are times where sports players, and it seems interesting, I follow a little bit the Red Sox. Maybe not as much as some of you, and maybe more than some others, though. But it seems interesting this year that there are a number of players, even at the beginning of the year, because of injury in their lives, they're sidelined. They can't play for a number of games because they have a tendon injury, an arm or leg injury. Something's wrong where they can't play. And things like that happen in our lives as it relates to our service to the Lord Jesus Christ, both in the church and in life general, because living for Jesus is not just something that we do here in the office of whatever God has called us to do here as pastor or teacher or Royal Ranger leader or worship leader. Situations happen which limit our ability to serve God. We might come down with some type of illness or injury. And there are some who might say, well, if you're a Christian, you should never be sick. But, you know, in the Bible, there were plenty of sick people. And I'm not saying sickness is of God. Sickness is a consequence of our fallen nature. So sickness happens, but God gives us the grace and the healing to get through it. But sickness or distress, whether it be stress at home or stress maybe at your job or just stress in life, sometimes these things can become overwhelming to the point where they consume our energies and make it difficult for us to serve God, at least serve God the way that we would like to. Giving you my perspective as a pastor, as far as being able to serve as a pastor in the capacity of preaching the Word of God. I never want to be at the place where I just come up and open the Word and let it flow. Although that's happened maybe once or twice in my life. I'm not very comfortable with that. I like to take time and study the Scripture. I like to hear what maybe some other people have to say about that Scripture, through some commentaries that I might have, or thank God for the internet. And there's a wealth of other sermons that you can find out there, good sermons from good pastors and teachers. But then there are times when we're sidelined. We're flat on our back and we can't put the energies into what God has called us to do at church, at home, at our jobs, the way that we would like. We can't study the way we'd like to study. We can't brush up on counseling and sharing with people like we'd like to. We didn't get an opportunity to practice our musical instrument the way that we'd like to so that we can play well. These times are difficult. And I'm not saying that they're of God, but like in everything in life, These times can be times of blessing where God can teach us things during these times. I think as far as my life, going through a situation, an illness, or maybe something that is distressing and consuming of my time and my energies. One of the lessons that I learn when I go through these things is a greater compassion upon those who might be sick or going through times of difficulty. You know, when you're feeling good, especially if you've never felt bad, you've never had a serious illness, or you've never had a serious situation in your home with your spouse or child or parent, it's difficult to empathize with those people who are going through those difficulties. Where's your faith? I remember a pastor friend of mine back in the state of Illinois, and he had a big wake-up call where he went through a period of illness. And he was at the point, he was so sick he couldn't even get out of bed. And well-meaning and well-intentioned people, other ministers came to him, other people of God, and some said, in trying to encourage him, but rather discouraging him, said, "Well, brother, if you just had a little more faith, you could get up out of that bed and walk." He's walking today, but at that time, it wasn't a matter of faith, it was a situation. It was a dark valley, the valley of the shadow of death he was going through at that time. God does not want us to be a people who are dismissive of other people's pain and suffering, because that is not the heart of Jesus. The Bible tells us that Jesus, when he saw people who were suffering, he was moved with the feelings of their weaknesses. He didn't say, "Well, where's your faith?" A couple of times he chastised the disciples, but they weren't the sick ones. They were the ones who were to be praying for people, the ones that were hurting. He was moved with compassion towards them. And when we go through our own times of difficulty, it increases our sensitivity to others. And therefore, it increases our ability, number one, our capacity to empathize or to sympathize with what they're going through. And so it increases our ability to be used by God to minister to them as God would have us to minister to them. Not as we think. You know, don't be a baby. Get over it. But I empathize with your suffering. I see your tears and I'll cry along with you as a brother and as a sister in Christ, believing God for a miracle in your life. And I believe that God is a God of miracles. Another lesson that we learn when we go through times of difficulty is that when we go through those hardships, it helps us to rediscover the discipline of priorities. Many people, especially people in the kingdom of God, because they sense the real and genuine call of God upon their lives, burn the proverbial candle at both ends. When we come to Christ, it does not absolve us of all the other responsibilities that there are in life. We still have the responsibility of going to work so that we can pay our bills. We still have the responsibility of family and of friends. And then when we accept Jesus, we're cleansed, we're forgiven, we're made brand new people in Jesus. But we also have the responsibility of being ministers for the gospel of Christ. Being people who minister to God through prayer and devotion, praise, and to minister to one another by words of encouragement, prayer, perhaps teaching and preaching, whatever capacity God has called us to, as well as being living witnesses of who Jesus is and what Jesus Christ has done. And you know, when all of these things happen, sometimes we tend to allow ourselves to be stretched beyond what we can do. We've got plenty of energy, so you know, we try and do everything. You know, that's okay, except sometimes where we try to do everything, We neglect the important things that are in our lives. We don't treat the important things in our lives as importantly as we should, such as our relationship or our time with Jesus or time with our family. But when our time and energies are curtailed because of some debilitating circumstance, it forces us to focus, because we can't do everything, on the important things in life, so that we rediscover our priorities and they maintain being a priority in our life and in our worship. Now, right along with this, when we're sidelined through difficulty or sickness, it forces us to take better care of ourselves. A lot of times, in order to do everything, we end up sacrificing ourselves. One thing that we need to realize is that as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a mandate to take care of our bodies. It's not something that we should worship. I mean, I don't care if you go to the gym, but I mean, some people, their God is their body. They want those six-pack abs and what do they call the shotguns? What do they call that? I don't know what they call it. I was never a bodybuilder, believe it or not. Cannons? I don't know what they call them. Yeah. I want these big muscles, you know. But sometimes the demands of life, of family, of ministry cause us to burn the candle at both ends, sacrificing ourselves. But God says our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And if you read in the Old Testament, the children of Israel were chastised when they neglected care of that temple. The temple needed to be kept up. It needed to be clean. It needed to be kept in repair. From the very beginning, also reinstituted by Jesus, God instituted the Sabbath. For what reason? Jesus said the Sabbath was not made for God, or man was not rather made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. Why? So he could rest and take care of himself. And when we've extended ourselves too much, and so we're burnt out physically, emotionally, or spiritually, and we're flat on our back or we're sidelined, it moves us to a place where we care for ourselves the way that we should. Not worshiping, but caring for this body, this mind, this spirit as a temple of the Holy Ghost. Number four, when we're sidelined, especially those of us who are leaders, it forces us to do something that we might not like to do. I don't know about you, and I don't know if I should do a confession this morning. And maybe I should, but maybe I shouldn't, but I am anyways, and so you can forgive me. You have to, because you can't go to heaven if you don't forgive me. But the Bible says that. But a lot of times, things I think that I could have someone else do, I don't have them do, because either I don't want to take the time to show them to do it, or I don't think they'll do it the way I want to do it. So I take upon myself more responsibility needlessly. I was going to say, listen, lady, but I don't want to say that to my wife. But when we're sidelined, it moves us to the place of delegation, where we can take some of the needless burden that is off us and give it to someone else. Not only the reason of alleviating our burden, but also helping other people grow in their lives, grow in their ministry, exercise the gifts that God has given them. You don't have to do it all yourself. In fact, you shouldn't do it all yourself. That's what God has created the body of Christ for, to work together, every part of the body fitly joined together, Ephesians tells us. But the greatest lesson I've learned when I'm sidelined by life, whatever the situation might be, is to be more dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Because although we are people who are born again, we are people who believe in the power and the moving of the Holy Spirit, we've been filled with the Holy Spirit with the initial evidence of speaking in other tongues, we have difficulty actually living that Spirit-filled life. That life empowered by the Spirit and yielded to the Spirit. And this is not because we're bad and wicked people. We hate the Holy Spirit. We think we can do a better job than the Holy Spirit. But in doing the works of life and ministry, and let me tell you, we really can't differentiate the two too much. Because your life is your ministry. Not just what you do here, but your marriage, your relationship to your children, your job, that is also your ministry, a place where God wants to use you and shine through you for His glory and His kingdom. And so, because we've been living life by our own power so long, and it's just natural or instinctive to rely on ourselves to do the work of God, many times we don't fulfill that privilege or don't live in that privilege of living under the power of the Holy Ghost for living, but trusting rather our own strength, wisdom, and institutions or programs. What does it mean to live under the power of the Holy Spirit? Well, if we were to just use one word, we would use the word faith. Faith being the evidence of what is hoped for, the substance of things not seen. Or we could put it this way. It's learning to trust God over ourselves. Why do we lean on ourselves? Why do we trust, as far as our approach to life / ministry, our own wisdom, our own institutions, our own programs, our own intellect, rather than God? Because we've been conditioned from a young age, because natural thinking, we trust man and we trust self more than we trust God. Now, I know it's something that we've all done. If we didn't, we wouldn't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We all believe that Jesus died for us, and so we have faith in Jesus. But as far as living for God, that is a very, very difficult thing to do, because it requires faith. What is faith? Well, one person puts it this way. Faith is believing without seeing, and often in the face of impossible circumstances. Once again, faith is believing without seeing, and often in the face of impossible circumstances. For instance, whether it be, as I mentioned earlier, the ministry of the Word of God, or perhaps you know of someone who's going through a difficult time and you feel moved in your heart with compassion to go and to speak with them, and you want to share with them a word of encouragement, whether it be teaching, whether it be leadership, wisdom, whether it be the arts, music, or whatever it is, we are convinced in our mind, or our heart rather, maybe not, we know in our mind how we should be, but in our heart we are convinced if we just do enough preparation, if we just do the right things, we will be successful in that ministry. For instance, preaching. If I just study enough, that will be an excellent sermon. If I just practice my instrument enough, if I practice my voice enough, that will be an excellent worship service. If I study the Word of God enough and study my lesson plan, I will have an excellent class. If I read God's words for those who are disenchanted or discouraged, then I will be someone who is well equipped to share with that person who is downhearted. If I just do these things, then I'll be all set and I'll be well prepared, rather than to being primarily not only open, but dependent upon the moving of the Holy Spirit upon our lives to minister that word, that song, that bit of wisdom or leadership that is needed during that time. David Cho, the pastor of the world's largest church in Seoul, South Korea, puts it this way many years ago. Actually, he said he was contrasting his church, or the church in South Korea, with the church in the West, or the United States. He said the church in the United States is the church of much program but little prayer. But the church in Korea is a church of much prayer and little program. What was he trying to say in that? We have trust in things. If we have the right material to reach kids, then we will be successful in reaching kids. I'm saying many things, but it's all saying the same thing. It's man's trust in things rather than the power and the Spirit of God to bring about the miraculous in Jesus' name. It's not because we're bad or evil. That's just the way we are. So sometimes... we meet those difficulties that put us on the sideline, whether it be the sideline financially, physically, emotionally, mentally, where we don't have the ability to study as we would like to study, to practice. I bet if I would ask the musicians this morning, have you ever gone to a worship opportunity, and the time you thought you were going to have to practice, you didn't have that time to practice. And with great fear and trepidation, you got up before everyone. But God came and moved anyhow. Type of God that we serve. But we trust things. We don't have the time. We don't have the time to spend time in preparation. Sometimes it's just a matter of being instant, in season and out of season, where an opportunity to minister to someone pops up out of nowhere. And you don't have time to go home and to read what this one has said or that one has said. You have to rely on supernatural strength. You have to rely on supernatural insight. You have to rely on the Holy Spirit during those times to live and fulfill your calling. How do we do that? Because just because we go through times of difficulty does not mean we're absolved from serving God. Life goes on. I know this scripture doesn't speak directly to what I'm saying here this morning, but in a way it does. In the book of Romans, the Bible says the callings and gifts of God are without repentance. They're also without difficulty. You don't stop being an encourager or a minister of the Word of God or a teacher or a musician, you know, a psalmist or whoever you might be, just because times are tough. Times are bad, so I got to quit. Because of all these things are happening, I can't spend as much time as I'd like to in study, so I'm not going to feel as comfortable as I'd like to speak, as I'd like to be when I speak, so I'm not going to do it any longer. You don't have the luxury to do that. Because the person who determines whether or not you do that should not be you. It should be the Lord Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit. But during these times, these are times that we can learn in a greater way to live under the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, to do this, we need to understand that living under the power of the Holy Spirit is something that we do purposefully. You know, sometimes as Pentecostals, we're under the impression that we just need to let God show up. We just need to wait for God to move upon us to do something. And we should always be open for that, amen? For God just to do something completely different in a service or, you know, have a plan for our day, but you know, knowing that God might have other things in store for us. But as far as being someone who is under the influence and control and anointing of the Holy Spirit, this is something that we must do purposefully. That we must not just wait for God to show up. We need to seek after God, or we need to seek God for with all of our hearts. Think of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the chapter which deals with the spiritual gifts of prophecy and in tongues and interpretation of tongues. It begins by saying, desire spiritual gifts. Be someone who desires to be filled and used by the Holy Spirit. Make that a purpose in your life. Galatians 5:25 tells us, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We want to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit. We need to pursue the Holy Spirit and understand that the anointing or the Spirit of God is something that rests upon purposeful people. So number one, as being someone who seeks the Spirit of God purposefully, and this is something that we know when we're going through times of difficulty, God, I just had no opportunity to prepare as I should have prepared. And I need you. But also those times that we do have plenty of time to be as prepared as we would feel comfortable in our hearts. We need to cultivate an intense desire for the Holy Spirit of God to rest mightily upon our hearts. It begins with our heart. And it begins with a heart change. A heart of desperation. David puts it this way, one of my favorite scriptures from Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. If we're to truly be a people who are living under the power of the Holy Spirit, we must be desperate for Him in our lives, which means we need to cultivate that in our lives. And if it's not a reality, we need to begin to ask God to make hunger for your Holy Spirit a reality in my heart. I don't want to set foot out of my house. I don't want to get out of my bed without your presence being mighty and powerful in my life. Divine desperation. But that's just the beginning. Desperation should move us to a place of pursuit. And as a purposeful people, seeking to be a people who are under the influence of the power of the Holy Spirit, we must seek not only a desire for His Holy Spirit, but communion with God's Holy Spirit. Once again, Galatians 5:25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. We need to live in the Holy Spirit, not only seeking this second work of grace, this experience of the Holy Spirit flowing in us, overflowing out of our hearts and lives to those who are around us. Not just something that we pursue, but something that we should live in. And one way that we live in this experience is to continue to exercise this experience in our prayer lives. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And we know when he makes the comment or the statement to pray in the Spirit, he is speaking to praying in that heavenly language that God gives you. That's in the same way that he gave you when he filled you with his Holy Spirit. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. 1 Corinthians 14:15, right along with this. What shall I do? I will pray with my Spirit. The reference there is to speak praying in another language as the Holy Spirit moves upon you. I will pray with my Spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. The Bible's not saying, and God's not saying, we're not to pray in English or whatever your language of choice is, and not with your understanding, you know, God, I have this need in my life, meet that need. I have this one who needs Jesus, save them. This person's going through a tough time. Yes, we are to do those things. But in addition to that, we're also to pray in the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit of God moves upon us. Again, it's not something we conjure up, but it's something we open up our hearts to. The Old Testament says, open your mouth, I will fill it, says God. Cultivating the moving of God's Holy Spirit upon our praise and prayer life. But it's not just a matter of being filled with God's Holy Spirit. It's a person who acts upon His Holy Spirit. The disciples in the book of Acts chapter 2 were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were blessed. But the sole purpose of them being filled with the Holy Spirit, or the purpose of them of being filled with the Holy Spirit that day, wasn't for them just to have a time of blessing. It wasn't just a bless me club. It was something life-changing where it moved them to become apostles. To no longer be Jesus' followers, although they would always be followers, but now become the apostles or sent ones, people sent by God to do great things for Him. Now, they didn't have the, and I'm not despising this at all, I think seminary is great. And if you can go, God leads you, go. Education is wonderful. Again, it's no substitute for God. God number one, but education is great. But they didn't have an opportunity to go to seminary. God moved upon them, and they began to preach and to teach and to do mighty miracles in His name, bringing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Being people under the influence of the Holy Spirit is not just being filled with that boldness and that joy and the power of His presence and experiencing the wonderful gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's being moved to a place of faith, which is stepping out of your place of comfort and doing some things for the kingdom of God. The disciples were still under the same threat after they received the Holy Spirit as they were before they received the Holy Spirit. The scribes and the Pharisees who hated Jesus and had delivered Him to Pilate to be crucified were still there and still in power. And still able to do, if God allowed, the same railroad job to them that they did to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Holy Spirit that was upon them moved them despite the fear, the misgivings they might have had in themselves. We're just fishermen. I'm just a tax collector. I'm a nothing. I'm a no one. Move them to being the apostles, mighty men of God, who did great things. You might not feel. In fact, you might even have all the time in the world. You might have all the study books and all the time to look at them and all the time to practice your instrument, practice your voice, study words of encouragement and so on and so forth. But the thing that you feel God calling you to do is something that you feel woefully inadequate in doing. In fact, let me tell you, at some time in your life, if it has not already happened, God will move you to do something that you do not quite feel comfortable, that you don't think you got the stuff within you to do it. Disciples did not have the stuff, but it was the Holy Spirit that moved upon them. One thing could have kept them from obeying God and causing this that great revival that began back those 2,000 years ago, and we're still experiencing the repercussions of today, the birth of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. One thing, fear. God, I know what you're moving me to do. And God, I feel this unction within me to do it, but I'm just too afraid. And we're just going to lock the doors and shut the windows of this upper room and stay here. But no, they decided, despite any misgivings that might have been, that were in their hearts, to throw open the doors to preach Jesus and establish the kingdom of God. You will be called. And you will. And it's not a matter of me telling you to do something. It will be that still but strong. So often we say the small voice. I like to think of the voice of the Holy Spirit and the prompting of the Holy Spirit as something strong to the point of being almost irresistible. It could be irresistible, but we are creatures of free will according to God's design. We feel the still but strong voice of the Lord to do something. It's beyond what we think that we can do. We can hide up in a little ball. Or trust God that through the power of His Holy Spirit, we are going to be victorious. And so we obey. We step out. We preach. We teach. I don't think I can do it. I'm looking at this week I have ahead. I don't think I'll be ready for Wednesday night. I heard what happened to this person. They just found out that they're going to lose their mother or their brother. I don't know what to say to them. I'm going to avoid them at all, if at all possible. I'm going to stay away from that person so I don't fail. But God, putting us in those places for just such a time as this, doesn't just put us out there by ourselves to do these things, but will be faithful to give us the anointing or power of His Holy Spirit to do so in an effective manner so that we can be obedient. And we don't have to be afraid about sharing with someone at our workplace or in our family. Or knowing that all the things that are going on this week in my life, I won't be prepared to teach or to minister. The Holy Spirit is going to give me everything I need in the name of Jesus. And then secondly, we need to trust God. And trusting God isn't just being obedient and doing what God has called us to do, but when we in fact have done it, believe that it's not just us that it has left some kind of earthly nugget with someone to help them. And you know, anything that I would have to say from my own heart might encourage you for a time. But if it's just me, eventually over time it will dissipate. Because that's man. You know, days of man are like grass. His life is flesh, like grass, here today, gone tomorrow. But if what I have given you is from the Holy Spirit of God, it will last forever. And trusting and believing God, which is important because it gives us confidence to continue to be obedient down the road. It's coming to the spiritual understanding that it's not about us, but it's about God. And whatever God has moved us to say, whether we think it fits or not. And let me tell you, people, a little aside from what we're talking about this morning, but let me tell you, in sharing with people, and I know this will be a shock to some of you, people will not always be honest with you about what they're going through or how they're feeling. And so they'll try to guard different things. They won't be forthright maybe in some of the issues that are going on in their lives, perhaps even some of the weaknesses or struggles that they're going through. But if we're truly in tune with the Holy Spirit might move us to say something that does not seem like it fits. This person says they're all right. This person says everything's going on in their life. It may not be. But let me tell you, when we trust God, we're people of faith and we obey God and we share that despite. And let me tell you, I've been in that situation many times. And many times I say to someone, listen, I don't know if this has anything to do with you and you can take it for what it's worth, but I really feel that I should say this to you, that, you know, the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go, or, you know, something of that nature. And, you know, whether they yes or no, or it's an opportunity for God to move through any facade that someone might have and touch their heart with what they truly might need, rather than staying in that guided place that they might be in the name of Jesus. I'd like to ask our musicians to return once again. Now, I'm not saying as far as believers in Jesus and His ministers for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're not to be people of study, of preparation. We're not to have a plan or a program. I think all those things are good. I think all those things are necessary. You know, what's the old saying? It's not scripture, but there's wisdom in it. You know, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. But there has to be a necessity in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ to first and foremost have a dependency upon the Holy Spirit working and moving through us. And not just at those times when we're on our backs and we can't do for ourselves, and it has to be God. God, I'm just so empty. I don't have anything to give this person. I need you. But even when we might feel that we're full, we need to have that same urgency, that same dependence upon the Holy Spirit, not just some of the time, not just times of difficulty, all the time. Because as I mentioned earlier, the only thing that is truly going to minister to someone and carry someone through a situation that they might be going through is something that is ministered by the Spirit of God. Not by what I have to say, not by what I think might be right. When we do things under the power of His Spirit, great things happen. Genuine things happen. As the Bible says, it's not you and I who break the yoke of oppression or bondage. It's the anointing or the power of the Holy Spirit that does such. But also, the greatest thing happens when we are ministering and living under the power of the Holy Spirit. People recognize when it's God, and they also recognize when it's not. And when it's God, who's glorified? The Lord Jesus Christ. And who is this all about? Is it about me? Is it about you? Is it about anyone here in this room? Not at all. No one here, as I believe that word of prophecy that came forth this morning, no one here died for us. Only Jesus Christ died for us. To Him is to be all the honor and all the glory. I might be gone tomorrow. It doesn't matter because God's still here. Amen? Amen. Bless His holy name. And so our desire is that we should be that we have the anointing of God heavily upon everything that we do, so that God and God alone receives the glory for what is done. In the name of Jesus. Let's stand as we...